Hello, everyone. Hello, hello. We are going to do some self-love and worthiness work tonight. I hope everyone has had a good Monday. Let's give everyone a chance to come on in, and we'll see who wants to be coached. Actually, have a few opening comments as well to share with you while you guys come on in. All right. Can you hear me okay? Lori's on the elliptical. Mm-hmm. Good for you. All right, excellent. Hello, everyone. Mona, Cheryl. Okay, here's what I want to talk to you about first. I'm just going to take a couple of minutes and tell you, you know, all these self words, self-love, self-awareness, self-worth, all these things are all interwoven because they're all based on what you think and how you feel about yourself, right? So I recently had my mind blown about self-confidence. So I wanted to talk for just a minute about self-confidence and what it is and how it differs from confidence, okay? So confidence is created based on your past. Okay, you have confidence that you can do something because you've done it before. It's an opinion based on evidence that you've created in your past. I have confidence that I can walk down my stairs and fix dinner, right? Because I've done it a million times. I have confidence that I can use a 10 key like a boss because I've done it a million times, right? 100% confident in those things. Self-confidence is different. Self-confidence is a willingness to feel any emotion, the ability to have your own back, the ability to manage the thoughts you have about yourself, and the ability to trust yourself when you haven't done that thing yet. Isn't that crazy? So, what you tell yourself either gives you self-confidence, or if you're on the negative side about, I don't know if I can do this, you block your self-confidence. If you only rely on confidence, which is based on the past, you'll only be good at doing what you've been doing. If you rely on self-confidence, you're willing to do anything. Isn't that crazy? Self-confidence is energy, the energy of excellence, even when you're failing. I just love that. I just thought, holy moly, right? So here's some thoughts. Here's some thoughts that can fuel self-confidence. I can show up and take action. The worst that can happen is a feeling. Right? I can decide to believe what I want, and I can believe in me no matter what. I just thought it was so cool. I just wanted to share it. So let's see what else I have in my notes here. Self-confidence is showing up and doing the job anyway when you feel anxious or afraid or worried, right? Doing it anyway, that's self-confidence. It doesn't mean you never have doubt, but it means you have your own back and you do the work despite your doubt. Anyway, I just thought that was super cool. The difference between confidence based on your past and self-confidence, which is created by a thought. It's created by deciding that you've got your own back. So anyway, how does that relate to self-love? I believe it relates very strongly to self-love, because if you believe you have your own back and you're willing to feel any emotion and you're willing to act anyway, that means you're showing up for yourself. That means you care about yourself. So it also means you're worthy, right? Because you've created that feeling inside of your mind with your thoughts. All right, so who wants to be coached tonight? Who wants to be coached on self-confidence, self-love, worthiness, all the things? All right, let's see who we got here. We have Jennifer, you're first. You coming? All right. Hi there.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Oh, I'm super nervous, so I'm sure it'll burn off in a minute or so.
See, you're doing it. You're here, and you're being coached despite the nervousness. Good stuff.
Yes. So I've been here since April of 19. This is my first coaching call.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I have always kind of stayed in the background and tried to pick what I can from other people's calls. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw the topic tonight, I think worthiness is what I'm picking out, because joining the tribe was one of the first times that I feel like I have really done something that's just for me. Had a weight problem my entire life. I was obese by the age of 3 with a metabolic syndrome, morbidly obese by 19, I guess. Had a gastric bypass to save my life, because I got up to 344 pounds. And it did. It did what it was supposed to do. But I never realized why I ate. I lived a lifetime of binging, not understanding my emotions. And now the thought work that we're learning has changed so much for me. I feel a lot more in touch with who I am. I've lost 50-ish pounds. Some days it's 55, some days it's 50. And I'm getting really close to the goal weight that I set up. And I feel confident, and I have self-confidence in that, mm-hmm. that I can do this and I can stay here. However, I have a daughter who's 15 who is overweight. And it taps on me feeling worthy, because this is going to sound terrible. When my husband gets scared that she's overweight and he has seen the weight that I lose, he'll say to me, "You've saved yourself, but you haven't saved Kendall."
Okay.
And that taps on me feeling worthy of continuing this when I can't save my daughter right now.
Okay. So your husband says, "You saved yourself, but you haven't saved Kendall."
Yes.
And so you feel unworthy, but you feel unworthy because of something you think about.
I feel guilt.
What he says. You feel guilt. Okay. We'll call it guilt. Why do you feel guilty?
Because I feel like I should do for her before I do for me. And I've done this for me, and she's not ready to let me do it for her or to help her. I know I can't do it for her. She's 15, and she's a strong-willed child. And every once in a while, she'll say, "Wow, Mom, I wish I could lose some weight." And I always get excited and I say, "Well, you absolutely can, because I have." And I don't talk about it like it's hard. As a matter of fact, whenever she opens the door just a little bit, I'll tell her this is the easiest it's ever been in my entire life. But when I start to talk about it, she just isn't ready.
Okay. So let me ask you this. What more could you do for Kendall? realistically, I'm not asking like, I could love her more. I could, you know, what could you actually do more for Kendall to get her to lose weight?
I don't think there's anything I can do other than model how to do it.
And are you doing that?
Yes.
Okay. Then why do you feel guilty?
Because I feel like it's my responsibility as her mother.
You feel like her eating is your responsibility?
I feel like she's going down the same path that I did, and it's hard to watch.
Yeah, that's the problem. Because logically, you know, you're doing everything you can. You're modeling for her. When she opens that door a little bit, you peek on in. I bet she's watching. She's watching you. I promise she's watching you. But you're entertaining this thought that she's going down the same path you did, and it's your right. fault that she's going down the same path you did. Okay. And what I want you to see there is that that's a thought. Okay. If you tell yourself it's my fault, that's you taking ownership, but it's still a thought. Okay. What you have to do is pull the two pieces apart. You have to say, in this hand, I'm going to think about my own weight loss. And on this hand, I'm going to think about hers. Okay? So Jennifer's over here, and you've almost solved your weight issues over time, over the period of your life. You have solved your weight issues, right? Now you have Kendall over here, who's, how old did she say she was? 17?
She's 15.
15. She's 15, and you are learning how to mother a 15-year-old girl. Every day, right?
Right.
This is how nobody gives us a rule book with our kids, right? So you're learning how to mother Kendall as she works through her life, right?
Right.
Because I asked you, what more could you do? And, you know, all you can do is be her mom and model for her and teach her and instruct her and be there for her and help her. The two things are not connected unless you connect them in your mind. And when you connect them in your mind, that's when you begin to feel guilty and you begin to kind of pick away at your own self-worth.
I think I just feel like if she would let me help her, I have all the answers, and it's frustrating. And when he brings it to my attention, and I know it's from fear because he loves her, and I know he's thinking, you know, you can do this, she can do this, you can help her do this, and it's like, that's great, but I don't have a willing participant right now. Mm-hmm. And I just hope that she is watching and is seeing that. And I keep thinking, the longer I keep it off and the longer I keep it off, because she's only ever known me overweight, mm-hmm. that she'll eventually say, well, maybe mom does know what she's talking about. Yeah. So.
Well, all you can do is model for her. You can't think for her. You're right. not going to feel for her. You're not going to eat for her, right? All you can do is teach her and model for her, just like any other, you know, situation that you handle with a 15-year-old,
right?
You know, if she had a friend problem, all you could do is teach her and model for her and advise her, right? It's the same thing with eating,
right?
But when you begin to wrap them together, wrap your eating experience up with hers, that's when you hit the danger zone of self-worth. Okay, if Kendall did not have a weight problem, and all you saw was your own struggle and your own success and your own 50-pound loss and your own, you know, where you are today, you'd feel great, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right? Feel great. I feel proud when I just think about myself. But when I think about her, I think, wow, I think you learned that behavior from me. And now I've unwound it for myself. But now I taught her something that, and I never even realized I was doing it.
Yeah. So why even entertain that? Why even entertain that? All right. So I was overweight all of my kids' lives. We did the drive-through like 4 times a week. You know, we were busy, you know, soccer practice, band practice, all the things. My kids went to college, got married, and they're healthy eaters because they made their own choices as they ate, as they grew up or whatever. Okay. Right. Kendall is making her choices. It really doesn't have a whole lot to do with the fact that she's your daughter. Because how long have you been teaching her? How long have you been modeling for her how to eat well? 50 pounds is probably a year, right? Well, how long did you say you've been in that? Been a member?
I joined in April of 2019.
Yeah.
So it's quite a bit has changed. I feel like I always cooked well for them, but I'm sure that they learned a little emotional eating from me. So that's the part. And I've learned so much.
That's really interesting that you take responsibility for their emotional eating. My father, as I grew up, weighed 400 pounds. Okay. I'm sure he had to have emotionally ate. I never saw it that way. Never saw it that way. When I look back on my own eating history, though, I do see emotional eating.
Right.
But I can't tell you what my dad was thinking and feeling when he ate.
Right.
So you're putting a lot of thoughts in her head. You got to get out of her head and be her mom.
I know.
So there's a couple things going on in the chat I want to address. First of all, if you all want to talk amongst each other, make sure you're talking to all panelists and attendees. But what he says, when he says, you saved yourself, but you haven't saved Kendall, those are his words, his thoughts, and they don't create hurt or guilt for you. You know that, right?
I do know that.
He says words. No.
Yeah.
He says words. You have a thought about what he says. Your thought could be, like, you don't even know what you're talking about. Or your thought could be, that's a bunch of crap. Just stop talking. I mean, how many times have you heard somebody say something ridiculous and blown it off? Been like, mm-mm, that's a no.
Well, I do, unless I feel like it could be true.
Right. Unless you believe it yourself. That's the thing. Okay. He just said words. He just put together a sentence and said it out loud. You had a thought about his sentence.
Right.
He probably told you, I don't know, in the past little while, he loves you, right?
Right.
Yeah. He put together a sentence. You had a thought about that too. He might have said, I don't know. Tell me something else he said. I'm going to work today. He put together a sentence. You had a thought about that.
Right.
Right.
I do know when he says that to me, because there's plenty of other times he says things to me like, wow, I'm so proud of you. You've done so great. You look amazing. Mm-hmm. But when he gets scared for her, then he does turn to me like I could have changed it. Like I could have, but I know we both parent her. I know we both.
Right.
And he doesn't seem to take any responsibility for her weight.
And that's all his model. That's all his thought. He's running models over here. He's got thoughts, feelings, and actions going over here. His thought is, she should have done something different. His feeling is indignant. And his action is, I'm just going to tell her. Or he could look at Kendall and feel fear and say something that
he really
doesn't mean. You know, he doesn't know what else to do. You know, that could be his way of saying, you've got all these tools, teach him. Get in her head. Introduce her to Corinne.
I'm waiting.
Work that magic. I mean, that could be all he's saying. In
his
way.
I've tried that too.
Yeah. Well, The reason that you have the guilt and the hurt is because you believe the same thing. You believe that. And that is a thought that you're having. That belief, a belief is just a thought that you've practiced over and over.
I just feel like a horse at the horse races that's waiting to be let out of the gate. And she won't let me out of the gate. I feel like I'm held back and I just want to show her that it's not so hard, that she doesn't have to give everything up, that it doesn't have to be this punitive, difficult, and it's manageable. And I don't want her to be almost 46 years old when she starts losing weight. I just want to save her from it.
What's the, but maybe you want to save her from herself and you can't. What if she is 46? I can tell you, I was 47 when I really lost my weight for the last time. And my dad was so proud of me. He'd lost, by that time, he'd lost a couple hundred pounds. But he was so proud of me. It didn't matter that I waited until I was 47. Do you love her? You love her as much now as you would if she was thin, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I don't want her to have that struggle, but I know that the food is doing something for her. And I know that's how she's dealing with things right now. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think to myself, at least she has that, because I wouldn't want her doing anything else that could be more damaging.
Then rather mothering her from the food perspective, why don't you work your way up the model with her and say, tell me what's going on that's got you eating today. Let's see if we can help you there.
Right.
Kind of like we do with you.
Right.
Right.
Right. It's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Because if she is emotionally eating, you can teach her that without going, look, you're emotionally eating. Let me teach you the model. You can say, hey, I noticed that, you got something going on today. What can I help you with?
Yeah.
Let's talk this out. Because, I was 15 once. I wasn't 15 today. My kids used to tell me, Mom, things are different now than when you were a kid. Okay.
That
doesn't mean I can't help you.
I also hear, I don't want to be coached by you today, Corinne. She'll say that to me sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Just saying, I'm not coaching. I'm just momming.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
Yeah. But your work really is to separate your success from her struggles. Because the connection that you've created between the two is all in your mind. Okay.
And she is one of my compelling reasons to keep going.
The more you nurture those thoughts, the more differently you're going to show up with her. If you're going to show up differently out of guilt than you will out of love and acceptance and unconditional love. Okay?
Okay.
Does that help?
It does help. Thanks, Kathy.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you.
She's lucky to have you. She's lucky to have your example. That's my thought.
I'll borrow it.
I would encourage you to borrow it. All right.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Take care.
Okay.
All right. Shannon Gentry.
Hello.
Hi there.
I was surprised to get called, but I'm excited. Hi, Kathy. It's good to see you. Okay, so I was totally not planning on jumping on, and then I saw the email, and I was like, I'm going to get on there. So I'm kind of nervous. But okay, so what is coming up is, okay, I had lost 30 pounds, and I have since gained back 5 or 6 pounds, and I realize that I've been focusing on these pounds I've gained back And that's all I've been talking about instead of like the 25 pounds I've lost. Mm-hmm. And I keep like beating myself up over it. And I know it's like the more I focus on it, like, why can't you just get back on track? You have all the tools. Like, I've been in the tribe for over a year. Like, I know what to do. I'm just not doing it. So that's kind of what's going on.
Okay. So why aren't you doing it? I mean, because this is where you ask yourself a bunch of questions.
Yes.
And you don't answer them.
Yeah.
Right? You have to close that loop because your brain is just going to spiral out in these questions. Why aren't you doing it? Well, look, you know, and you ask yourself over and over again.
Right.
So answer that question first. Why aren't you?
I don't know. Like, I'm choosing, I'm not supposed to say, I don't know. But yeah, like, I just keep choosing to go off of my plan.
Okay.
And we've coached on this before. Like, I do tend to overeat when my daughter is at her dad's house. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that I've dealt with that. But for like a while, I can do the white knuckling. And it's like, I haven't been able to anymore.
Okay. Because you've run out of willpower or because you just don't want to?
I think it's because I run out of willpower.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
So it's what you're trying to, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I just said, it's not that I don't want to. It's like I run out of willpower. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because willpower takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy to, you know, they call it white knuckle. That, you know, to force yourself to do something that your heart isn't behind. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
So why do you think you don't want to right now? What do you think is going on?
I don't know. Part of it, maybe. Gosh, I don't, like, because I think I want to. I have also struggled with binging, and so I've been listening to a lot of those calls too. But like, I've been able to lose 30 pounds without dealing with that. Like, still binging occasionally. Mm-hmm. So I don't, this is like a side, like, okay, maybe you really need to like work on this. And I keep work on the binging.
Okay.
But then I tell myself, well, yeah, but once you lose these 5 pounds you gain back, then you could work on that.
This is so interesting. Did you listen to Cindy's call on the planned binge? Did you? Yeah. I listened to all three calls. We had them put together. You had Corinne, Betsy, Corinne.
Yep. I listened to them all separately, and then I listened to them all together. Yes. Put them together. So, yeah, it was...
And they were real, it was a real clear message to me in the call that you need to pick one to work on, either the binging or the weight loss, right? So it sounds like to a point, you decided to work on the weight loss,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And now are you saying, why are you switching it up now?
I think it's like, I don't know. I mean, because like, it's almost like I have to, or so I don't, I'm not sure how to answer that.
Okay. So why do you think you have to work on the binging now?
Because if I don't, I'm never going to be able to actually lose the weight, like all the way. And
do you think that's true?
Yeah, because I think it's still going to come up.
Okay. So I have a very good friend who probably binges 3 or 4 times a week, and she weighs 125 pounds.
No, see, I just, in my head, like, I don't even know how that's possible. Yeah.
I can 100% attest to you. So tell me,
you know, and I guess now
keep throwing whys at you, but tell me why the binging all of a sudden is more important than the weight loss. I just want, here's the reason I want to talk about it this way, because you're on a self-love call
right now
and worthiness. And for some reason you are compelled to bring this up when we're talking about self-love.
Yeah.
And you're changing the focus of your weight loss or of your program with all this all wound up together.
Yes, because like, I guess I do, like, it's because it's been the weight loss. It's because once I lost the weight, I would be worthy, and I'm divorced, so I'm dating. Like, yeah, that's what it's been. It's like, I would be worthy of dating if I lose the weight.
Mm-hmm. So you're dating now?
Yes.
Are you worthy of dating now?
I want to say yes.
Well, you must be, because you are dating.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on dates. Mm-hmm.
So this is where that whole confidence, self-confidence thing comes into play as well.
Yeah.
Right? You're looking at your past to see your worthiness.
Yep.
Rather than creating self-worth in your mind. Okay? Because self-worth is a feeling. That's created by thought. So what you're doing is you're scoring yourself on the worthiness scale based on everything up to today.
Based on my weight.
Yeah. Based on your weight, based on who knows what else, what people have said to you, what you've thought about yourself, all those things, right?
Uh-huh.
You can have tremendous self-worth and binge eat. Okay. You can also have, look at you going, right? But what happens on the backside of the binge, I bet, is shame, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's what you focus on.
Oh, yes, for sure.
So
yes.
Because you're binging and you feel the shame, you're allowing that to affect your self-worth.
Yes.
And your lovability and your ability to love yourself.
Yes, I would agree. Yes.
Okay. So if you set aside the weight loss and you work on the binging, you're thinking that you're going to create worthiness.
Yes.
So you're telling me that when this happens, I will feel that.
Yes. Which I know that's not how it works.
No. No, it's not. It's not, because you can feel anything you choose to feel at any time. You can feel worthy right now with the right thought. You just don't believe it yet.
Right. Yeah. Well, in the planner, you know, the I'm worth this work because, or I'm worthy, whatever the question is. I usually just write because I'm a person or because I'm a woman. And so, but it's never like, it's not ever heartfelt. It's just, I kind of fill it in.
All right. So tell me somebody in your life who loves you unconditionally.
My daughter, who's...
Your daughter.
Yeah.
Okay. Would she think you were worthy?
Yes, she would.
And why do you think she thinks you're worthy?
Because I... her mom, and I would do anything for her, and that is like one of the reasons that I am doing this work and, you know, trying to figure all this out. So, you know, and it's kind of like what Jennifer was saying, like my daughter's five, like she doesn't have to see, you know, it's like, does that make sense?
Yeah, she sees you as your mom, as her mom that she loves unconditionally.
Yes.
Right? Yep. So I asked another member, her name is Tabitha, one day on a call, the same question, who in her life, you know, loved her unconditionally? And she said, my mom. And I said, well, does your mom think you're worthy? And she said, oh, yeah. And I said, why? And she said, because I was born. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Right.
You're worthy because you're you, because you're born, because you have something special to give the world, or else you would not be here.
Yeah.
You fill a unique place in the world, whether you're binging or not.
I'm writing that down.
So if you want to work on the binging, I'm 100% behind you.
Right.
But cleaning up the binging is not going to improve self-worth.
Right.
The only thing that improves self-worth is how you think about yourself.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know. So, like, I've heard that, like, either you need to focus on the weight loss or the binging. Mm-hmm. And maybe just because it's been coming up a lot lately, I'm like, okay, well, I need to focus on this, but I don't really want to.
Okay.
But I guess, to your point, if I'm not ready to, or I don't want to, like, I don't have to. And again, it has nothing to do with self-worth, and I could probably still lose weight.
Well, I just want you, whatever path you decide to take, I want you to take it because that's the path you want to take.
Yeah.
So if you want to set aside the binging and you want to just focus on, look, I'm going to make a 100% doable plan and I'm going to follow it tomorrow. One day. I can do this for one day. That's how you begin to create confidence again and evidence again that you're back on track.
Yeah.
I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then when you begin to create that evidence again, because you're showing up as if you already have it, right? Then you begin to see, oh, look, I can do this. I can. And you begin to feel more self-confident, which leads to even bigger steps.
Yeah.
Okay. And self-worth. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know what's interesting is, before I went on vacation at the beginning of August, and up until then, I was doing, I don't want to say good, but I was doing the four basics. I was following my plan. I was doing all the things.
Yeah.
And I was binging. Mm-hmm. But it was, maybe that's why, because it was like, I had the confidence and I had the evidence. Like, I was doing it, doing what I said I was going to do. And then since then, like, the first week I got back, I would say I was on plan. And then since then, like, I write plans, I don't follow them. I haven't been doing, you know, all the things. So it's like getting that evidence back and that confidence.
So are you not following them because you're just like, I don't care what the plan says, I'm having what I want? Or are you not following them because you're binging? What's the difference there? Which?
Both.
Both. Okay. So there's a binge and then there's a choice to disregard the plan.
Yeah, like some days it's just like, oh, I want to have this for dinner instead. Or I would consider an overeating, but not like a binge.
Okay. Those are the days you don't have your own back.
Yes.
Those are the days where you're just like, I don't really care.
Right.
That's what you had. That's the part to clean up with this.
Okay.
Okay. So you create a plan for tomorrow and then you decide I'm staying on plan.
Yes.
That's the thought that creates the focus, that creates the staying on plan part.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. And then once you've got that nailed and you're cruising, when you're ready to work on the binging, you'll know.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
But I don't want you to just say, oh, you know what? I think I'll work on the binging now. And, you know, just get out of one pile of doo-doo and step into another one and not have your own back anywhere.
Right. Yes, that makes sense. Yes.
Yeah. Because that's really what self-love and worthiness is all about. It's all about what you think about yourself and how you show up with yourself.
Yes.
And your weight and your kids, and none of that has anything to do with it. It's all feelings created by thoughts.
Right. Okay. All right. Yes.
My friend Tabitha is on this call.
Okay, I'm going to go. I know I see all the comments popping up, and I'm going to go read them afterwards. So thank you. Okay.
You're welcome. Take care. Laura Gary. Hi.
Hey, lady. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm at work. I popped on. I'm listening and I'm doing some work and I raised my hand because you know how my thoughts are when I'm at work.
Uh-huh.
And I just got a call of someone who's going to come down in my office. So I'm going to get off if you don't mind.
Okay.
And if I have
a chance,
I will jump back on maybe towards the end.
All right.
Because my thoughts are like this with work. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Who else we got? Ashley. Ashley. Let's see if that helps. There you are.
Hi.
Hi.
I have been dealing with some things the last few days. Okay. And things are not going the way I would like them to go. I'm usually an A student and it's a B situation. And I've really been trying to get to the bottom of why it bothers me so much.
Okay.
And I've realized it's because I have my self-worth all tied up in it. But I have tried to divorce myself from the idea that my grades are the center of my self-worth.
Okay.
But I feel like I can't seem to get past it.
So, okay. So if we were to say, this is what's happening in the world, I'm getting a B instead of an A. Right? Tell me how that makes you feel.
Shitty.
All right. Why do you feel shitty?
Because I can do better. But that's something that's bothered me too, is I'm not totally sure I can with this one.
So what's the problem with that?
I don't know. I told myself I wouldn't say I don't know.
Because, And I want to correct something I said. I want to clarify something I said. Because if we look at think, feel, do, right? Her feel is shitty. What's happening in the world up here is a B instead of an A. Okay? So that's not what makes her feel shitty. What makes her feel shitty is her thought about it. So that's why I said, why do you feel shitty? And you said, I can do better. Is there something else in there?
Yeah, I think.
Then I can do better?
Initially I have that thought, I can do better. But then I have a thought, but this time I'm not sure.
Okay.
That I can. And that bothers
me. This time I'm not sure. Why does that bother you?
Because my identity is an A student. I don't know.
Tell me what the problem is with not being sure whether or not you can do any better in this class.
Like what it would mean for my future, I guess. Like I have a lot of
what the problem is about how you're talking to yourself about it.
Oh, okay. I have, I don't know.
Do you think you should be able to do better? Do you think you're failing if you're not doing better?
Yes.
Do you think you're not giving enough effort to do better? Are you how are you beating yourself up about this?
I feel like I'm giving enough effort. I wake up every day at 3 o'clock and I study for like 3 or 4 hours before my kids get up, and mm-hmm. I'm giving everything I can give. And
okay.
It's exhausting.
Why is that not good enough then?
Because I'm not creating the result that I want.
That might be it. I'm not creating the result that I want.
Yeah.
And the result that you want in this particular case is an A in this class. And a B is just a no.
Yeah.
So why? If you are giving everything, if you know you're giving it 110%, why isn't a B okay?
It means that I'm not good enough.
That's the story that you tell yourself. That's the perfectionism that's coming out. It has to be an A to be good enough.
So,
and the reason I know this is because when I went to college, I would love to have more B's. Okay. So getting a B instead of an A, or just getting a B, I would have a totally different thought than you have. That's how we know that's a thought. Okay.
Yeah.
Because my thought would have been, well, thank goodness, because then my GPA, you know, would have been a little bit higher than it was. Thank goodness. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you have a thought that a B isn't good enough and that you're not good enough because you're getting a B, maybe is the better way to say that, right?
Yeah.
Do you realize that's a thought?
I feel like sort of like I know that it's a thought, but my emotion is too close to the thought. Like it feels really immediate, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It's just because it's practiced. It's because your brain is hollering back at you. Oh, no, no, no. You know, we have to have A's, right? That's just because you practiced it.
Mm-hmm.
So when the bee comes home, if the bee comes home, your work is to find grace in giving yourself the pat on the back that you did everything you could. And everything you could got you as good as a B. Right?
Yeah. I have all these thoughts in my head that
that are arguing with me right now. Yeah. And that's probably because you haven't entertained anything other than it has to be an A.
Yeah.
You've never opened the door for anything other than it has to be an A. It has to be perfect. Otherwise, it's not good enough. Does this show up other places in your life too?
I'm guessing. I mean, I'm pretty perfect everywhere.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Your work is being okay with mistakes. Being okay with not being A's all the time in everything.
Yeah.
Perfectionism is an interesting concept because it really there's no truth in perfectionism. It really doesn't exist here on Earth, right? Because we are human beings.
Yeah.
And I've heard it described, and I'm trying to think about where it was. It might have been in the book I read recently, Personality Isn't Permanent, but I don't think it was there. But perfectionism is basically something we hide behind so that we don't have to do things that are hard. So let me ask you this. If you had if you had known when you signed up for this class that it was going to be a B, would you have looked for a different class?
I would have waited till after COVID because it's online. And
yeah.
That's making it harder. Mm-hmm. And I would have taken.
See, waiting until, yeah, those are all thoughts too.
Yeah.
It's harder because it's online as a thought. It might be a justification for getting a B. So tell me what you can learn from a B in this class. What can you learn about yourself from a B in this class? That's positive.
I like how you had to clarify. Uh-huh. I guess maybe finding out that I'm still like okay. That I'm
well,
still-
yeah, you didn't die because you got a B. That's true. You also saw, you found some tenacity in getting up at 3 o'clock every morning to study before the kids got up.
Yeah.
You found some determination. You found some focus. Right?
Yeah. I have. Yeah.
You've probably worked harder at this class than you have in a lot of your other classes at this point.
Yeah.
Right? What if that's the payoff? What if that's the learning point here? The B is kind of, you know, it's happening in the background. But look at what you're showing yourself about the way you can show up. That you are totally discounting because it's not good enough because it's a B.
Yeah. I am showing up.
Yeah. Like a boss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Sometimes it takes, yeah, you're welcome. Sometimes it takes a little bit tougher road to show us what we're really made of. Right? And if you can look at it from that perspective, this B is a huge victory for you because it's showing you so much of what your worth is to yourself and how you show up.
Yeah.
And what?
Good. I'm gonna tell you to watch this.
It's interesting. The things that we do imperfectly are the ones we remember the most. So I bet for years to come you will think about this particular class, but you'll also think about how dedicated you were to yourself and to the success you could find, you were able to find,
yeah,
in this class, right? Even though it was not perfection, it's taught you so much about yourself and about how dedicated you are to being, you know, the best that you can be.
Yeah. I'm going to write all this down as soon as I get off.
Does that help?
Yeah, big time.
And I think it's my thought. Of course, it's my thought. You ought to be super proud of this B because it didn't come easy, because you worked your tail off to get that B.
Yeah. I have worked my tail off. Yeah.
That help?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. See ya.
See ya.
All right. There's some in the Q&A here. Let's see what we got. Ooh, I think my headphones are fixing to die on me. My main desire in life is getting married and having children. I've been single for what feels like forever, and I really struggle with dating. I'm so lonely at times. I'm struggling to figure out how to give myself those thoughts and feelings I'm seeking. I have self-confidence and self-love, but not reaching these life goals makes me feel worthless. Do you have any advice? Yes, I do, actually. Let me.
Give me thumbs up if you can hear me, since I took my headphones out. Is that a yes? Yes, okay. So, you said, Erin, I have self-confidence and self-love, but not reaching these life goals makes me feel worthless. Not reaching the life goals, that would be getting married and having children. So that's what's happening in the world. That's what's happening. That is the fact of this, right? You are not married and you do not have children. You have a thought about that that makes you feel worthless. So remember how this works, okay? Not married is the fact. Worthless is the feeling. There's a thought in here that creates the feeling of worthless. It's not that you're not married that creates worthless. This is what's so important for all of you to see, okay? When you have self-loathing, worthless, unhappy, all these things in your feelings line, it's not because something happened. It's because you have a thought about what happened or didn't happen, okay? So when you have self-confidence and self-love, it's not because of something that happened. It's because you have a thought about something that happened or didn't happen. So that's my advice for you, Erin, is to ask yourself, why do I feel worthless? Okay? And the thought is probably something like, because nobody wants me, or because I'm not worthy of finding the right person, or I'll never find someone, or something like that. There's some kind of thought here that's creating worthless. That's what you have. Oh, there you are. I'm going to pop out the chat and see what you said. I have a thought no one wants me and I'll be alone forever. Yeah. You know, there are people out there who don't want to get married that don't have that thought and don't feel worthless. They're like, I'm good on my own, happy. So that's how you know that's a thought, okay? When you think nobody wants me, you're creating a feeling of worthless, of, you know, stinking self-worth, no self-worth. So you have to change this thought about not being married if you're going to change worthless. That's how this works, okay? Give me a thumbs up if you understand what I'm saying. It's the thought that creates the feeling, not the fact that you're not married. You get that? I'm watching the chat over here. Yep. Kim says, yep, happy single right here. See? Got it. Thank you. All right. Excellent. Okay. Couple of things for everyone. Don't forget camp, virtual camp. Signups, if you want to come to the self-love body image, learn how to love yourself unconditionally camp. It's going to be October 2nd through 4th, virtually online. Corinne has done amazing work getting you ready for this. It's the perfect conclusion to this call. Sign up. Don't delay. Don't ask yourself, am I worth it? Because you are. And she's going to tell you why. So if you sign up by September 20th, you will get the amazing swag. I don't even know what it is, but I'm sure it's amazing. I can tell you, let's see. Here it is. I think there's one of these in there. Well, no BS notebook. That's what I've heard. So sign up for camp. And then Turkey Trot, the week of November 13th, is going to be so much fun. 60 minutes of any movement you want to do. Anything from chair yoga to Zoom dance party. Anything makes you happy. Okay? All right. You all have a great evening. And thanks for coming to the self-love Zoom. And if you like this kind of topic on a Zoom, just let us know. Okay? All right. You guys take care. See you.